Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey, good morning, Every Nation New Jersey. God bless you. PA here, Pastor Adam Bird, and I'm so excited that you would spend your Sunday morning here with us at Every Nation New Jersey. And if you've been tracking with us, this is the crescendo. This is the end, the last installment of our Beautiful Mess series. It's just been a journey we've been taking through the book of 1 Corinthians. And so before we put a bow on this series, I need to start with a little story. So I've been pastoring now for 20 years, kind of blowing my mind. And it's funny, when I initially transitioned from the NHL into full-time ministry, you know, it never dawned on me that I might have to do weddings and funerals. And for the record, I'm not a big fan of doing either one. But if I did your wedding, it was amazing, all right? But it's funny, I got to let anyone that tries to date any of my two daughters, I got to let them know immediately, hey man, I can marry you and I can bury you. So anyways, but it's funny, one of the first funerals that I ever did was actually up in Ontario, Canada. And I guess I wasn't prepared for kind of the weight of the moment. And as I'm in the lead car with the funeral director, it was a woman. She's a little bit heavier set woman, and we were driving. It's like just super sweet, and we were talking, and I just kind of wanted to break some of the heaviness of the atmosphere. And so I asked her, I was like, hey, what's the funniest thing that ever happened to you as a funeral director? And she was a little bit shocked. I don't think she had been asked that question before. And she says, well, now that you ask me, now that I think about it, she says, I was doing a funeral, and as I was walking to the gravesite, I was reading the flow of events, and she was so engaged in her paper that she said, I walked right into an empty grave and fell in. I was like, oh, I was like, man, that must have been so embarrassing. And here's what she said, not nearly as embarrassing as them trying to get me out of the grave. And I tell you that story to say this, man, if Jesus doesn't get out of the grave, man, Christianity, it unravels. But if Jesus rises from the dead, gets up out of that grave, it changes everything, absolutely everything, and it even changes people. And that's what I want to show you today, is some changed lives after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I'm going to read it, and Paul's going to give us just an embarrassment of riches, witnesses that are going to testify the fact that Jesus got up out of the grave. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 8. Starting in verse 1, Paul says, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, by the way, that's Peter, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep, and then he appeared to James, that's the Lord's brother, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me. And this is Saul, or later to be known as the apostle Paul. And so I want to really focus on just the people that were eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Christ, because it really is an embarrassment of riches that the weight of everything, it points to the fact, man, Jesus is alive. And so notice it, we read that he appeared to Cephas or Peter and the 12. And so if you remember, during the Last Supper, Jesus, he made this alarming prediction. He said, all of you disciples are going to abandon me in my time of need. And Peter immediately bows up. He says, not me, Lord. He says, I will even die for you. And Peter and Jesus just unmoved. And he says, are you kidding me? He says, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter's still in denial. He's like, nope, not me, Lord. I'm going to be with this. I'm your ride or die, right? And then as we fast forward to the Garden of Gethsemane, and then the arrest of Jesus. If you remember this scene, it just seems like everything unravels and comes undone as the a mob comes and arrests Jesus. Peter pulls a sword in a moment of courage and chops off a guy's ear, and Jesus has to say, "Put your sword away," puts it back on, and there's just all the disciples are terrified and disoriented, and they run off into the night. Well, Peter, he follows behind Jesus at a safe distance, keeping an eye on everything that's taking place. And the scripture records that in a courtyard, he's actually warming himself over a charcoal fire with some other people, one of which is a little girl. And this little girl begins to interrogate Peter. "You were one of the 12." And he denies. And the scripture says he so strongly denies that it says, cursing, he said, "I do not know him." And one of the gospels says this, that Peter looked across the courtyard and Jesus made eye contact with him. So that's a tough go. Like Peter, in moments of terror and fear, he could not testify to Jesus. But now fast forward. After the resurrection of Christ, after Peter had seen Jesus is alive, this spineless man, he's filled with courage and boldness. And we see that on the day of Pentecost, he gets up and boldly preaches and proclaims, "This Jesus whom you crucified is both Savior and Lord." Like what happened to him? I'll tell you what happened to him. Man, he had seen Jesus is alive. I don't have to fear death. And you know, the 12 were no better. We find that the 12, they actually locked themselves in an upper room, and they were terrifying, just praying that no one would come and knock on that door to come and arrest them as well. But what we'd find out is someone was looking for them, would knock on the door, and Jesus would appear on the inside of that room. The disciples were all startled, and he says, "It's me. I'm alive. Touch my hands and look at my wounded side," right? And so now these men who are all cowards, there's this newfound boldness and courage around their life. Do you know that all of the disciples would die horribly? Why? Because they refused to deny the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Like Andrew, Andrew was crucified. Nathaniel, he was skinned alive and then crucified. That James was beheaded by Herod. The apostle Peter, he too would be crucified upside down. So all of the disciples, they died horrible deaths, and all they have to do is recant. But they couldn't do it. Why? Because they knew without a doubt Jesus is alive. And now I want to show you another living witness today. I want to show you someone that's going to testify that Jesus is alive to them. And so take a look.
Hi, my name is Raj, and I'm here to tell you that Christ Jesus is alive, and He is in us, and He's with us. So I would like to share my testimony of how I came to the kingdom of God. And to begin, you know, I will tell you that I was a church-going Christian and all my life, but the church I used to go to, I was not taught much. I did not know about the day of Pentecost. I did not know about the gift of Holy Spirit. So I always used to wonder, Jesus Christ came, died, and raised up, and then we went to heaven, and then what next? We are just left alone to fend for ourselves. But that was not the case. You know, and after that, at the age of 22, I came to States, and I started, got involved into worldly things, worldly business world. It was my aim to live, make a lot of money and this and that, how it goes. So later on, when I started my own business, this is a few years down the road, when I started my own business, I struggled, For a few years it was good, but a few years later, it became a very big struggle. And the pressure started mounting from financial angle and everything else. And those days were very, very troublesome. And to the point that I was consumed by running away, you know, running for my business, staying away from home, staying in hotels, traveling throughout the week. And after that, I came to my end of myself. And this happened when I had a big life insurance. So when I was on the road one day, and I was driving from one appointment to the next, and this voice came to me, you know, why don't you go head on with the truck? Your family will be better off, you know, dead, because remember, your life insurance is pretty good. And that shook me up. I came to the hotel, fell down on my knees, and I remembered the day very clearly. I remembered the verse that says, "Come unto me, all you heavily laden, I will give you rest." And I said, "Lord, I don't know anybody else who's more burdened than me, so help me out." And the burden got lifted. And that started my curiosity. I need to know more. I need to know more. So, you know, a few months later, we were at my brother-in-law's house, and he is a believer. My wife is a believer before me, but they never pressured me in any way. So I was there, and I was arguing about something about the Star of Bethlehem, and he gave me a book. And as I started reading that book, I was amazed. I said, you know, somebody did the research, what it is all about. So I asked him all the books written by the same author. So he gave me 12 books. I started reading all of them while I'm traveling for business. So one day I was reading Romans 10:9, that if you shall confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And this verse entered my heart. I started shivering. I started shaking. The tears came running. But there was joy inside of me. I was smiling. So I looked at the mirror in the hotel, and I asked myself, are you going crazy? And, you know, the voice came back, no, you're not. So after that, I was like so joyful. And I believe that day I got born again. The Spirit came inside of me. And after that, I made it the point in my life is to just to live for the kingdom, live for Christ, who's my Lord and Savior. And I would always put myself second, you know, and not first. I will always put him first. So this is my testimony. And this is to encourage everyone, you know, that Christ is alive. Christ is right now. He's in you. It is God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. So this is with what I will end. My testimony, God bless you all. Much love in Christ. Amen.
Man, did you get that? Jesus is alive. And so he not only appeared to Peter, but he also appeared to 500 people at one time. 500 eyewitnesses. And Paul says, hey, they're still alive. Go ask them. And so interesting little fact is, you know, that the book of 1 Corinthians, it was actually written 20 years after the resurrection of Christ. And so these eyewitnesses would still be alive. And so for many of you, I could say, hey, do you remember 20 years ago? That would be the year 2003. You know, in 2003, there was a box office smash, the number one hit. It grossed $339 billion. And it was the story of the special needs little boy who wandered off and he was missing. And his father was terrified. And so he knew he had to go in search of his son. And as he was looking for his son, I mean, it was all this perilous journey. And there was ups and downs and twists and turns. And just when it seemed helpless for this father that he would meet somebody, a friend. This absent-minded woman, like super odd, I believe her name was Dory. And so as they go on this journey to find the father's son, they eventually find him, and the scene crescendos as the father and the son have been reunited. And that, of course, is the movie Finding Nemo, right? And the reason why I bring you there, how many of you have seen Finding Nemo? How many of you could testify to the fact that 20 years ago, there was this movie, it was a box office smash. It was called Finding Nemo. I will testify to that. Why? Because you were there and you saw it. And that's the big idea with Paul. Paul said there's over 500 witnesses, most of which are still alive, that will testify to the reality that Jesus is alive. And so I want to introduce you to another living witness that is going to testify to the reality that Jesus is alive. Take a look.
Hi, my name is Viola, and I am here to assure you that Jesus is alive. I went through a really, really tough season in my life, and I was brought to Joel Osteen, who then encouraged me to find a Bible-based church in my area. That's how I landed here at Every Nation, New Jersey. And what I can tell you is that God is so in our life every single day. You may look back over your life and not recognize that, but if you really think about it, He's been with us every step of the way. In my Connect group, we talk about making the choice every single day to wake up and choose Jesus, choose God, stay strong in the Word, and He will carry you through every single thing that's on your path. The key, I feel like, in my life was recognizing He had me on a path. Now realizing that I need to choose that path every day. That's not always easy to do, especially living in the world we live in right now. But I am here to tell you, Jesus is alive and He wants to be part of your life. He wants to be in our story. He knows the beginning from the end. There's no other way to describe it. Life, it happens, but we make the choice to choose Him, and He will carry us through every single time. So what I can tell you is God is faithful. God is good. He has a better plan for our life. He knows where we're supposed to go. He knows the beginning from the end. Every Nation, New Jersey gives us that. It gives us, this church here will give you the word that you can relate to. My faith began in the Catholic Church, and that I'm so grateful for. However, I didn't realize really what the scriptures even meant. I didn't know how to relate them to my life, but now I do. And that has changed my life forever. So I encourage you, seek God first. Make Him part of your everyday life. Dig into those scriptures. Come to church. Join a Connect group. And just know that Jesus is alive. And He is our story. He is part of our story. And He saves us every single day. So go out there and spread the word.
Hey, Jesus is alive. Notice this, that He not only appeared to Peter and the 12 and to 500 eyewitnesses, but He also appeared to James. James was the Lord's brother. I'm not sure how many of you have siblings, but for those of you that do, what would your brother or sister have to do in order to get you to believe that they were God? Right? So I got my brother Noah. I hope Noah's watching. What's up, bro? My brother Noah, I'm going to out you again. I've done this. I think I do it once a year, but my brother Noah is a charismatic guy. I mean, he can talk his way into and out of things. It's just like second to none. In fact, I remember my wife and I, we were watching HGTV one night. We're watching this show, Rehab Addict. And as we're watching it, suddenly my brother's on the show. I'm like, what in the world? How did he get on the TV show, right? And so he's on the TV show. And then this one is just by far the best for me. My brother talked his way into a professional hockey league tryout. Here's the caveat. My brother doesn't play hockey, and so, but he was able to do that. But here's what I promise you: there was nothing my brother could do to talk me into believing the fact that He is God risen from the dead, unless I see Him arrested, brutally beaten, hung on a cross, put into a grave, and on the third day get up. Guess what? I'm gonna have to consider that. I'm gonna have to consider it. And so in John chapter 7, we see that James, the Lord's brother, he's actually mocking Jesus. He's a staunch skeptic. He's like, there's no way my brother is God or even the Messiah, right? But after the resurrection, everything changed. Why? Because James had seen him. And James would go from being a skeptic to being the leader of the church in Jerusalem. And he would actually give his life as a martyr, testifying to the reality that Jesus is alive. I want to introduce you to another living witness. She too, like James, began as a skeptic and now is a staunch follower of Jesus Christ. Take a look.
Hi, I'm Sheila, and I'm here to testify that Jesus is alive. When I was 23 years old, I decided to embark on an adventure trip to U.S. Upon coming here, I decided to give it a shot to live and work here. So I worked very hard to prove my worth. And after some time with a great deal of effort, I was able to carve out a career for myself while I supported my family back in the Philippines. I was successful in my own right, but I felt empty and void. I remember thinking then that whatever success I had was all because of my hard work, while others seemed to be able to get their success pretty easily, unlike myself. It felt that God handed them those things in a silver platter. It was not fair. God was not fair. You must have heard the story of the prodigal son. I did not identify as a prodigal son, but rather the son in the story. I questioned God to the point that I was mad at him. I worked so hard to be good. I was a good daughter. I was a good sister, good friend. I was even a good worker. Yet I was very unhappy. I couldn't enjoy whatever I had then. I looked for answers in other religions. I started attending Buddhism, studied their principles. I even entertained that idea that maybe, just maybe, God does not exist at all. And then one day, a friend of mine invited me to attend a service here at Every Nation Church, New Jersey. I was very reluctant, but I saw how people were very friendly and took the time to know me. Months into it, I asked my friend if there's anything she can lend me so I can learn more about God. She gave me a prayer and fasting booklet. And I remember that morning when I was preparing to read the book, I played a random music on my phone and Steve Chapman's song, I Will Be Here, came on. The lyrics were, tomorrow morning if you wake up and the sun does not appear, I will be here. When you need to speak your mind, I will listen, and I will be here when the laughter turns to crying. Through the weaning, losing, and trying, we'll be together, because I will be here. Tomorrow morning, if you wake up and the future's unclear, I will be here. These words hit me to my core. I started shaking and crying uncontrollably. I remember God. I remember Him. God spoke to me through this song that He has always been there for me. Even those times that I felt so alone, He was there. Even when everything felt so uncertain, He's the only certain thing that I have. After that morning, my heart understood His love for me. Where all my doubts and fear disappeared at once? No. But little by little, He replaced them with faith and trust. I will live to you the Bible verse that changed my life. It is Revelation 21 verse 5, and it says, and He who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also He said, write this down, for this word are trustworthy and true. I live by these verses after my first encounter with God. He gave me a new life, a new purpose, a new meaning of success in life. Thank you.
Jesus is alive, right? He appeared. He appeared to Peter and the 12. He appeared to over 500. He appeared to James. And now we see He appeared to Saul, who would eventually become Paul. And so we're introduced to Saul in Acts chapter 7. He's actually an accomplice to the murder of the church's first martyr, a man by the name of Stephen. And get this, as they were stoning Stephen to death, Paul, also known as Saul, he hangs on to the jackets. Why? Because he wanted to be able to watch. Now, there's a level of sickness to enjoy watching somebody getting stoned to death. Like I can remember when I was playing in the NHL, I got a slap shot in the face. You know, the slap shot, it'll go between, you know, like 90 to 100 miles per hour. And I got struck by this puck. And you could hear the 19,000 fans. There was this collective gasp. And people turn away. Why? Because you can't unsee things. But Saul liked it. And then, in fact, in Acts chapter 8, he can taste blood in the water. And now it says this, that Saul is now ravaging the church. In fact, in Acts chapter 8, verse 3, we find this, that now he's arresting men, and wait for it, and women, and throwing them into prison. So if you can imagine ripping mothers from their children, dragging them off to a cold, dark prison, and this is who Saul was. And then if that doesn't seem wicked enough, then I'll let Saul testify to himself, because in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he says this about himself. He says, I was a blasphemer, a persecutor. He says, I was an insolent, arrogant opponent. And then just if that wasn't enough, he would sum it all up as this. He says, me, I was the very chief of sinners. But get this, something would happen on a Damascus road that would forever change the trajectory of Saul's life and our life. He would meet Jesus. He would know that Jesus is alive. And in so doing, Saul would become Paul, the greatest missionary our faith has ever known. And so now I want to introduce you to someone else, someone whose life was radically altered by meeting Jesus. Take a listen.
Hello, my name is Hack. I'm here to testify that Jesus is alive. I grew up with good parents. They were always pointing me towards God. I went to Catholic school, but I knew I was missing something. One time I even felt like I had a calling to be a priest. And I remember praying, please God, take someone else. I want to get married someday. As I grew up, I worked hard, but I learned to play harder. Temptations drew me towards dark places. I was always searching for the next party, the next drug, the next good time. I got addicted to drugs. I got addicted to a fast life and addicted to fighting. A hard life led me to getting stabbed. I almost died. I knew God was protecting me for a purpose. I survived, but was still searching and struggling. Later, I went through a divorce. I kept searching and struggling through life, and I never found peace. I struggled and fought for everything that I had. Later, I met this great woman named Sherry. We started dating and things were looking up. My life was still complicated. I never felt peace. I learned Sherry had an incredible faith in God. I felt a strong need to investigate her church. One day, she called me and I didn't let her speak. I just told her, I really want to go to your church. I later found out that she was calling to dump me, but somehow Jesus stepped in. She kept me around. I came to Every Nation Church and I found peace in Jesus. I started to put Jesus first in my life. I truly believe with all my heart, when you start living your life for God, you'll find peace. Amen.
Jesus is alive. And so my big question for you this morning is, what will you do with Jesus? Like today is Palm Sunday. It was the day, do you know that Jesus rides into Jerusalem and there were thousands that were crying out, Hosanna to the King! Hosanna to the King! But just a few days later, there's going to be thousands again that are crying out, crucify him, crucify him. And really, those are the two options you have. What are you going to do with Jesus? Because you can only crown him as king or crucify him. that there is no middle ground. And so what will you do with Jesus? Let's pray. Lord, I want to pray for those that maybe don't know Jesus. You've heard about Jesus, this morning you've had an encounter with Jesus and you're ready to crown him as king of your life. I want to pray for you. And if that's your prayer, simply at the end of this, please just say out loud, amen. Amen means so be it. And so, Father, I pray for those that have an amen in their spirit this morning. God, that those that say today is the day, I declare that Jesus is my Savior, saving me from death, hell, and the grave. And he's my Lord. He is my God, the one I follow, and I bow my knee to him. And today, come in, Lord. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, listen, every nation, God loves you, and I think you're pretty amazing too. I pray God minister to you and touched you. And while the message is done, we're not quite finished. I would like to let you know that you can still be faithful in your tithing and your giving. Tithe simply means a tenth. We believe that a tenth of everything that we're given, we give back to God as a form of worship. And we trust this, that as we honor God, God is going to care for us and honor us. And so there's three ways you can give. You can go to our website, encnj.org, and just hit the giving icon. Or you can give via text. If you just text the letters ENCNJ to the number 77977, it's a very convenient way to give. That's how my family and I give. Or you can mail in your check or money order right here to our church offices at 101 Gibraltar Drive, right here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. And may God richly bless you as you are faithful in your giving. And so now, every nation, happy Palm Sunday to you. Have a great week. God loves you, and I think you're amazing too. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, encnj.org.